I have failed, I confess. But I've got some questions for you. I hope that you're ready and you know your stuff. There was a certain amount of cheating, I think, among the scouts last year. And I know that somebody has got a little crib in their pocket, but they assure me that that's not actually cheating. That's called being prepared. And we all know that good scouts should be prepared. Do you guys want to come and see if you can find a seat somewhere up here? If you're happy behind me, then feel free. But otherwise, do come and find a seat somewhere up here where you can see. Now then, under here, I've got the latest member of the scout troop. A very smart shirt. And it strikes me that this must be a fairly senior scout because there are an awful lot of badges on it. And I have to say, I think this one's probably got more badges on it than most members of the American Army. And they always seem to have badges coming out to here, don't they? Now, I know that you guys have different badges, and I was learning a little bit about those through in the hall earlier on, and I'm terribly impressed they have an air skills badge, which means that all of these guys down the front here with their air skills badge are actually fully qualified pilots. Did you know that? I'm so impressed. So you'll have to excuse me, you guys, when I don't ask you these questions, because I've only got a scout shirt here. I haven't got a beaver shirt or a Cubs shirt. But if you know the answers to any of these questions, do come and let me know. So who can tell me something about the shaped ones? The sort of diamond-shaped ones, what are they about? If we can...
They're challenge badges.
Okay, the diamond-shaped ones are challenge badges. And what sort of challenges do you have to do? Do you guys have challenge badges?
No.
No? Yeah. Yes, you've got a challenge, but you've got a diamond-shaped badge there. What do you have to do for that one? That's right, now that's important. And come to church parade. Well, you've ticked the box on that one today, haven't you? And we've got some circular badges all the way back here. You've got a pair of scissors cutting a key. What does that mean? Not what it is. Who's got one of those? Who's got one of those? No, you haven't. Who's got a pair of scissors? Yes, you've got a pair of scissors cutting a key. What's that one mean?
It's a magnifying glass.
It's a magnifying glass, is it? He's got the badge, but he doesn't know what it means. Who else has got one? Joe, you're clutching your... You've got it. Do you know what it means?
It's a hobby badge.
I'm glad the leaders are here. I'm glad somebody knows what's going on. Excellent. Okay. I'm terribly impressed by this shirt. It's a little bit small for me, I think. But the thing is, even if I put it on, would it actually make me a scout?
No.
No. That's right, because I didn't earn the badges. So that would be cheating a bit, wouldn't it? Excellent. And what else? What else would be missing if I was to put that shirt on? What would I have missed out on?
The scarf.
The scarf?
Promise.
The promise?
Right. You like haven't been accepted into the scout group.
Absolutely. I haven't been accepted into the scout group. And that's really the difference. Even if I was dressed to look the part, and even if I had the scarf and everything else, I still wouldn't be a genuine scout. There would be something missing, wouldn't there? Because scouts, cubs, beavers, you all have something more than just your uniform. You have your promise, and there's something else, something which we can't quite touch, isn't there? Which is the essence of your organisations. Now, thinking about our story for a moment, we'll put the latest member of the troop to one side, and thinking about our lesson for a moment, we heard the story of how The Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. Now, Peter and the others had spent 3 years with Jesus training for their work as disciples and to go out and spread the word. But until Pentecost came, they weren't fully equipped to do it. Jesus had said to them before he died, "Stay in Jerusalem until the gift I have for you comes, until the Holy Spirit comes." So they knew that they were waiting for something which was really going to equip them to do their job. Now, bear in mind at this point that Peter, who can remember what Peter used to be before he started following Jesus? Does anybody know?
A fisherman.
A fisherman, absolutely. Well done. Well done. Do you get a badge for that? Good answer, though. Well done. Okay. Peter was a fisherman, and he had probably not had a lot of education, and he had left behind everything he had, his boat, his nets. He'd given all of that up to follow Jesus. So in the story, he starts speaking, all the disciples start speaking in different languages. And there's a great crowd in Jerusalem, and they all hear their own language. Now, how long have you been a Beaver? How long? Peter had had 3 years training with Jesus. So, how would you like to come up here in front of, okay, what have we got? We've got maybe about 100 people here. Okay, you know that there are 3,000. And you've got to persuade them.
Maybe.
What, even people who don't speak the same language as you?
Yeah.
Oh, you practice that. I'm going to come and watch. Okay, go and sit down again. Thank you. I think that would have been a pretty tall order for people. And yet, he went on from the reading that we've just had. He went on to summarize the gospel, and at the end of his speech, which takes up about a chapter of the Bible, 3,000 people came to faith. And that was the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came on Peter and enabled him to do that. Now, I just want to go back very briefly to the Old Testament, which is the bit at the early part of the Bible. It's the sort of scary bit that a lot of people don't like to read about because they don't really understand it. And there's a book there called Ezekiel. And Ezekiel was a priest. And he had a lot of visions. A known vision he had was of being in a huge valley that was covered in bones. Has anybody heard this story? Eileen has. Ian has. That's good. What about any of the uniform guys? Have any of you heard it? No? Anyway, what happens? God talks to Ezekiel, and he says, "Can these bones come to life?" And Ezekiel says, "Only you know that." And God says to Ezekiel, "Well, tell the bones to." And so Ezekiel says, The Lord commands you to come together, and the bones all start to rattle and they come together into skeletons. And then God says to Ezekiel, "Can these skeletons actually walk? Can they breathe?" And Ezekiel says, "If you tell them to, yes." And so God says to Ezekiel, "Tell them to breathe." And so again, Ezekiel says, God says, "Breathe." And they grow, the skeletons grow flesh and sinews, and they breathe and they become a mighty army. And that's what God wants for us. Without God, we are those dry bones. But God wants us to be a mighty army for him. Now, we have it pretty good in this country, don't we? We're doing pretty well. We've got lots of good stuff, haven't we? Compared to a lot of other people in the world, you think about, the children in Ethiopia, where we've had all the famines, you see them on the news, and they don't have very much, do they? Compared to you, compared to me, compared to all of us. But the trouble is that some of the stuff we have actually holds us back. I think I need someone a bit taller. Oh, you're twitching in your seat. Come on then, you're twitching in your seat. Well volunteered. Okay, you come and stand in the middle there. Now then, I'm going to give you some of the sort of stuff we all have. Okay, now there's the first thing I'm going to give you, and that's your home. Okay, so you've got to hold on to that. You can't lose that. Sorry? You could be, actually, apart from the fact that it's in your hand, not on your back. No, it won't go on your back. You've got to hold it in your hand. Okay? And that, what can that be? That could be, all your schoolwork, all your toys, your television. Do you have a DS? Things like that? Or any... You've got an iPad, okay, so your iPad's in there, so don't drop it. Goodness sake, whatever you do, don't drop it. Now, as we go through, we pick up a lot of other stuff as well, don't we? We know that the weather's not always going to be nice, so an umbrella would probably be a good plan. So we'll stick that under there. And every then you need a bit of support as well, don't you? So let's give you a stick. Let's put that under the other arm, shall we? Okay, don't drop them, whatever you do. And sometimes in life we get lost. Shall I unfold them out for you? Would you like it folded up? I'll leave it folded up just in case. Now, if you're going to find out where you're going, you've got to know where you are, because otherwise, if you can't pinpoint where you are on the map, you can't really tell where you are. We're going to have to look back, aren't we, to see where we've been. So we've got a brief history of time there, a little light reading from Stephen Hawking. Absolutely. Now, you ready for this? You ready for this? The other thing we do, we surround ourselves with... Now, where are we... Can we... Tell you what, if we put the umbrella under that arm... Oh, we're dropping everything. Okay. Are you right with that?
I can do this.
You can do this, okay? Right, there are all your people. And then we still don't really know where we're going, so we're going to take in a bit of travel, Africa overland. So can we tuck that in there?
Yeah. Oh no.
Are you all right?
No.
Don't drop it. You got it?
I'm going to drop my iPad.
You're going to drop your iPad? Don't do that. Amongst everything else, we fill our mind with nonsense, don't we? The television, computers, it's all a load of garbage, really, but it's all nonsense. Under your chin, there we go. Okay, so well done. That's what you need for life, isn't it? But then... No. But then God comes along, and Jesus came, and Jesus said... Oh my word, it's all going wrong. Okay. Let's start again. Okay? Okay.
Can I put it in the suitcase?
No, suitcase is full of your home and your school and everything else.
My house is big.
Your house is big, okay. Don't worry, you can put it down, relax now. Because we're carrying all of that stuff. Jesus came along and he said, I have come that you should have life and have it to the maximum, to have it to the absolute fullness. And so while we're carrying all of that stuff, God says, here's my Holy Spirit. And so you imagine you've got all of that lot, and God says, this is what I really want you to have. I really want you to have the Holy Spirit. But you can't give your hand and take it because look at all the stuff you're carrying. Okay?
Well, I don't need that, so thank you for that.
You do. No, you do need that, because if you don't know where you've been, where you've come from, okay? Glad. Thank you. You go and sit down. And so we think that if we get all this stuff around us, more and more stuff, we will be happy. But actually, the truth is, we need to lose some of this stuff. And what we need is the Holy Spirit. That's what came at Pentecost. Look at the effect it had on Peter and the other disciples. 10 minutes Peter spoke for, or thereabouts, if you read the passage in the Bible. And 3,000 people believed. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the power of what God wants to give to each one of us today. Amen.